was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Welcome, my friends, to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and tonight, as you probably know, is Sunday, October 19th, and we're having a robust, unfortunately one-sided discussion of some interesting available methods for handling the challenges for first discerning and analyzing and then handling and processing the challenges which are presented to us as sovereign men and women by the corporate United States and the Canada Corporation. By the way, everything I'm saying here tonight applies throughout all of Canada, old Canada, de facto Canada out west, doesn't matter where, under the understanding of returning process from entities outside your jurisdiction is universal among solicitors everywhere. Excuse me. So the final paragraph of this letter states, accordingly, the aforesaid defective process is being returned, noted, quote, return for cause without dishonor, no such person at this location, close parenthesis. Any further commercial trespasses or attempts to force defective process on the undersigned will comprise a crime against mankind. As I stated, that's very much in my mind an optional, somewhat hothead statement that I would probably remove in a final edition if it was me. Your attention is respectfully called to your lack of immunity pursuant to 28 U.S.C. Section 1605A2, having been unable to locate a proper domestic corporate filing for the, and I might mention the court, or I might mention the state, or whatever the entity was that was contacting me, having failed to locate a proper domestic corporate filing for the United States District Court or for the state of Montana with the Secretary of State of the state of Montana. Now, this is very much a patriot thing, but those who understand what I just, excuse me, those who understand what I just said might view such a statement as having credibility. Basically, that all of these so-called state corporations, being municipal corporations that have not filed with secretaries of state to register themselves as corporations or foreign businesses that are authorized to do business, have in fact confessed to being foreign states. The letter goes on to say, all such actions shall result in the service of a warrant for the arrest of the bond of any offending officials. Notice I said of the bond of any offending officials on IRS, Dun & Bradstreet, DTC, the Fed, the credit bureaus, and various other underwriters to be named, and IRS will be assigned any liability which is incurred by such action. Now, what that's, let me caution folks on the use of language like arrest. Probably a majority of the audience doesn't know what the term means. An arrest is a civil distress process. It's the placement of a lien against title, which has been expanded, as you know, since all of the laws of the United States, all of the actions of the United States are civil actions. It has been expanded to include the facade of detention. But an arrest of a bond is nothing more than a lien or a taking of control as a security interest against that title. Folks, we'll be back. We finish up on the topic of grand jury testimony in just a moment.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
I woke up on the cement floor this morning. My head felt like somebody been a walking on it.
Welcome back, my friend. Just to mention regarding that letter, I certainly would sign in a way indicating that I'm a non-corporate sovereign. In fact, in Canada, I would sign as a non-corporate living man or a woman. And because that word sovereign, of course, in Canada has an entirely different connotation than it does down in the States. And, I would have a great seal alongside my signature, possibly a county notary seal. I would have a letter like that notarized. I would include a courtesy risk disclosure indicating that the notary public has been used as a courtesy. A courtesy of what? A courtesy so they don't wind up in trouble for violating any United States acceptances that have previously been issued regarding my political status. I happen to have a treaty dating back a decade with the United States and any other pre-existing understandings and claims. So, and most listeners out there at this point have a claim against the Sproul Party and maybe a copyright notice. And then I might also have such a thing witnessed below the notary public's witnessing of the signature so that this is visible within the public. I might have a couple of county notaries act as my witnesses. As far as I'm concerned, the use of a notary, when I use a notary public, I put a notation in that I have conscripted the notary public for du jour services in light of the fact that the United States has a monopoly on the resource. Now, increasingly, the United States does not have a monopoly because we're using county notaries. It is always amazing to me, out of visceral sense, that here we have a county notary, a genuine party who was authorized under the Lord and under de jure operational procedures, if one knows how to construct them, to act in the capacity as an officer on behalf of mankind. And all of the public officers so entrenched in their fantasy and having no clue as to how they have been deluded and deceived, malign such a thing as having zero credibility. So by putting two of them on the page, then they, from the public perspective, they then have to view them as witnesses to the appropriate signing of the document, at minimum. Anyway, so there's a handful of methods that I might use to return process to the United States, at least a summary of those methods. Again, I suggest no one should use such things unless they really understand. No one should just say, hey, send me an abatement. I'm going to abate the process because it will fail. You won't know what you're doing. You won't know how to defend it. And the use of any such technology is, in fact, counterproductive and potentially dangerous without the knowledge of how to defend that document. And the knowledge of how to defend it first begins with the knowledge of the meaning of the document. So what if one elects to appear at the grand jury hearing? What important factors might be helpful in such an appearance? Well, first of all, keeping in mind, first of all, projecting ahead to what will be expected and what the public perception will be. One must be able to visualize what it will be like to sit there and be asked a question that is blasphemous to the Lord, and it creates immediate revulsion within your sensibilities with your present level of knowledge. I couldn't do it. I'm physically incapable of sitting there and answering as a legal fiction and potential defendant a question that's posed to me as, you have to answer this or I'm going to hold you in contempt. I can't make that leap of faith that would have me confess to that jurisdiction. So the first thing is to project ahead and say, how will I like to answer the question that asks, sir, is this your driver's license? Uh-oh, what do I say now? Do I go into a complete explanation? No, it's not. Well, it's got your picture on it. Well, sir, do you have the power of attorney to qualify my signature? What are you talking about? You signed it right here. And now you're in on that. And by the way, when we talk about arraignment a little later in the program, there are very simple ways to get around such things. When that document is presented and someone wants to testify to your signature, I would call them on it. Or if they ask you, is that your signature, I would simply have to see the document and ask, where has that been? Let's talk about that in light of the grand jury hearing. Let's say one was a notary public going into a grand jury hearing. And the first question is, are you a notary public in the state of Montana? No, I am not. You're not? Well, I have this application with your signature on it. You do? How would you know that that's my signature? You can see this prosecutor is not going to be happy, and now he's going to join you to the prosecution. There are more gentle ways to do that. You might say, well, technically I am not a notary public. Well, I have this application. Could I see it, sir? Yeah. Sir, before he even has a chance to ask you if that's your signature, which they will do on most documents before the grand jury, you might say, well, sir, I need to ask you a question about this. Where has this document been? Or if he asks you your signature, you would ask to see the document, and I might say something like, sir, I've got to ask you because you're asking me to be truthful here today and I don't want to make even a technical mistake or a misstatement. Where's this document been? This is a photocopy. Where has this thing been? Even if it's the original, where has this document been? What do you mean where it's been? Well, I mean, where has it been? Who's been holding on to it? It's been out of my care, and I'm well aware of what can be done with Photoshop and other things, I really don't think that I have the lawful authority to testify that that is my signature, since it's not been in my possession. Because I don't want to tell a lie before this honorable body. So that might be a more gentle way of approaching it. When it comes to a signature, one of two things will happen. A document will be flashed as being yours, in which case we simply ask, do you have, or would you please ask Ms. Jones if she has a power of attorney to qualify my signature on that document? That will stop the proceedings cold. If a document is thrust before you and you are asked if that's your signature, if that was me, I would turn around and say, where has that document been? That's not trickery. That is an absolute fact. How can I attest to something which has been out of my control? If I were to give my word, what if it had been doctored? Let's say your life depended on a truthful answer, and you said, yes, that's my signature. And then some guy jumps up and he says, actually, just to show you as an exercise that we could do it, we screwed around with it on Photoshop. That's not the signature you placed on there. Well, they'll take you out and execute you. But remember, folks, anything you say is your signature, because you're the only one qualified to qualify or disqualify the signature. If a document is put before you and you're asked if that's your signature, then we tend to revert back to where has that document been. And then based upon the fact that it's out of our control, we are unable to qualify it as our signature. So signature is not a big deal. Those older patriots listening to the program remember the old story about the fellow saying to the attorney, well, that may be my handwriting, but it's not my signature. Reportedly, the judge burst out laughing. But stories get blown out of proportion. I wouldn't necessarily go there. I would keep it very simple. I would always keep in mind in these undertakings that when they're bringing a patriot in or a notary that has notarized some patriot documents, it may not be a simple case of, yes, I want you to testify against this guy that you notarized this for. So at least we have on record, yes, I notarized his signature, that's his signature, so that they can hang him. There may be ulterior motives to join the whole party together as a conspiracy. And if that happens, my friends, even if you're promised immunity, you may find yourself in a very unpleasant situation of being forced to testify against your friends, your family, your loved ones, and your relations. You may, the second you sit down and take their oath, of course, you are confessing to violating and abandoning your relationship with the Lord. Now, I don't say that to tell you that you should or should not testify in those situations. I'm making these observations because, in my opinion, they're true. When I raise my right hand in a setting like that and state that I am that party they are trying to get me to confess to, I know what I have done. I have confessed to being a pagan, idolater, and someone who worships all of their symbols and idols. One other testimonial answer that can be very helpful is the answer that one does not recall. Now, I would never coach anybody. Well, I wouldn't coach anybody in any fashion, but I would certainly never coach anybody to say that when it's not true. But I call your attention to your glorious President Clinton, who must have stated that about 10 times during that famous worldwide viewed interview about his sexcapades. I don't have independent recollection of that, or in his case, independent erection of that. But there's a statement that I like to tuck away in my pocket. I'm sorry, counselor, I don't have independent recollection of that. You mean to say you don't? Like I said, counselor, I don't have independent recollection of that. Do you have any testimony as to what my memory is? We'll be back in a moment, folks.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. All right. So I think we have a good handle on handling a subpoena. The only decision that one has to make then with that knowledge is, how do I respond? Do I send the process back as defective and make it clear that I'm entirely out? It's a little harder for a notary public to do that, of course, than a civilian, a non-public officer. It will be, in fact, much harder for notary public. Most people under that circumstance, I would venture to say, would probably not suffer any additional consequence. But in the case of a notary public, and in some civilian cases, the choice is this. Either present yourself and become a tool of the prosecutor entirely at his or her mercy, understanding that they will be able to force you to answer any question and force you to testify against any person that they want, understanding that you have waived all of your rights of privacy and all of your expectations of privacy, or you can return process and understand that in the worst case scenario, they will bring you in under a warrant of arrest to face a contempt hearing. So one needs to, the reason we spent all of the summer preparing the de facto, deconstructing the de facto courtroom curriculum was to prepare for that arrest scenario. And that leads me to the next case I'd like to talk to you about that clearly, I mean, this case so graphically demonstrates the choice that we face in subpoena, in summons, in administrative summons, whatever it may be, that I think it should, this segment of the program should be held out as something to be studied to enable people to understand what they are doing, whether the choice is private or public. This is a party who was failed to show for an administrative subpoena from IRS and then was delivered a summons to appear in federal court to face a contempt hearing. I probably got 500 people listening tonight who would face that same scenario. And in some conversations with me, it became clear that the party was not really prepared to do a full commercial global privacy shield, or back then BIC suite, return of the process. They were distraught. They were extremely worried. They were incapacitated by the fear at the time. And so I suggested they might want to do a little research into abatement and stay out. And the choice was this: either stay out entirely, and then if they drag you in, you are out, and they have nowhere to go when they drag you in and will have to release you unless you completely screw up. If you stay true to your beliefs, and this is a devout party who believed and knew in his heart that he was a child of the Lord, an absolute biological property of the Creator, someone who has been pious and praying since his teenage years, well, that would be the ideal party to abate process using a court convened in the presence of Yahweh. But I couldn't even get those documents looked at, and so it became clear that this party was going to appear. And the only thing I said was, understand, if you appear, you are in for a penny and in for a pound. They will assume that you are the fiction defendant. And I know it seems fairly benign. All you have to do, because when you appear, they're not going to sentence you to contempt or hold you in contempt. They're going to order you to obey the IRS administrative summons or face contempt. And if you obey the administrative summons, then you'll be fine. And so that's the decision this party made. But believe me, a number of times I emphasized that you will be in. And that's what happened. And then this party went to the administrative hearing and had provided an affidavit that most of those records did not exist, but there was controversy over one record, and it was whether it was a photocopy or not. And lo and behold, back into court to show cause why they shouldn't be held in contempt. During that intervening time, he prepared very well and turned around and abated all the process, the court process, the private administrative process from IRS, but understanding that it was later in the case. And so the process was sent back, and a summons eventually came saying appear for this hearing, and the party appeared to defend for the purpose of defending the abatement. Well, that defense of the abatement was vigorous, and within a short period of time, the judge was foaming at the mouth and, as it was described to me, practically standing on the bench, screaming. Now, what does that tell you, folks? That he is scared, because anger is a manifestation of fear in all cases, and this man was scared because he knew that this party was not capitulating. And so the marshals swarmed in, contempt, take him away, and they took him away. And I received a phone call. He's gone. But he was out by the end of that day. They brought him back in twice. They brought the public defender. The public defender stated, I sympathize with you. I have been listening to Patriot stuff for years. I believe every word of it. But I'll tell you, every Patriot I've ever seen come through has gone to jail. What he's not telling you is that there's a whole bunch of Patriots he hasn't seen where the public defender wasn't involved. Those are the ones who walked, such as my Patriot friend, my sovereign friend, that I discussed on the January 27th program this year. When we come back, folks, we will discuss the rest of this case and the confession made by this judge, and we'll also discuss a fascinating arraignment case, and we'll still have time for our special guest. Please stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Superbeta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
Welcome back, friends. With your permission, if I don't get too much protest by email, I'm going to speak a little bit faster because we still have a lot of material to cover, and I realize we're in the last half hour of the program. Where does time go? So when this judge was angry, this guy defended the abatement vigorously. He defended his lawful name vigorously. He would not give in. He would not sign anything. He would not consent. And clearly, they did not have a defendant in that courtroom. The judge's ire, as I mentioned, was quite visible. And as part of the defense, at one point he said, "Are you attempting to coerce me to confess to being that name on that the name on that piece of paper?" And the judge was screaming, "You bet I am. That's what we do here. You bet I'm trying to coerce you. That's what we do here. That's what all this is about." This is a judge in federal court, and not a low judge either. This is an experienced, seasoned judge. And he didn't tell us anything we didn't know, but I certainly thought that you might enjoy that confession. Anyway, they collapsed around him, took him out. They brought him back in twice more. They sent in the first line of defense, and you should expect this when you're inside, is that they'll send in the public defender to draft a contract with you. "I can't help you unless you let me. Listen to my words. I can't help you unless you let me. I can't help you step into the system and have your life destroyed unless you permit me to do so." That, in fact, is what he is saying. And that's what I mean, and that's what this program is dedicated to, discerning, first of all, deciding whether or not one wishes to enter into that abomination, and then secondly, at least willfully, and then secondly, discerning what it is that is being offered by the party. This was a very nice fellow, as he was explained to me, and I'm sure had the best of intentions. Even he does not know, just like Barack Obama does not know that the Fed is behind this economic crisis. Even he does not know that he was soliciting a confession out of her. He did. It is not within an attorney's mind to even process the fact that you can stand there and take control of the courtroom and impose your will on that judge, because for 20 or 30 years, all he's seen is that judge imposing his will on everyone else. He doesn't even know such a thing is possible. So I suggest that sovereign men and women, absolute biological property of the Creator, be cognizant of who they are when they are in that setting. This party was. They brought him a piece of paper to sign. He turned it over, asked for a pen, and wrote peace bond out. And that anyone who fails to sign this covenant is confessing that I am public property, handed it to perhaps the public defender or the prosecutor, and said, take this to the judge. And they brought him back in, and the deal that was arrived at was that just give me a statement that the records were shredded, and this will all go away. Goodbye contempt, goodbye charges, goodbye IRS, goodbye everybody. Which is the same deal that I described to you back in January, January 27th, where the deal was just have your wife bring in a piece of paper. I don't care if it's blank. I believe you've settled it here in chambers. I believe you. I don't have to see more, but I have to do something out there. So we need a public facade. So keep that in mind if you get dragged into one of those settings. Now, that leads to this other case, which I'd like to comment on. This is a state case most of you are aware of. It's a case involving notaries. And as most email that circulates about commercial process, everybody's been scared. Uh-oh, arrested on 1099 OID process, arrested on the use of promissory notes. Let me say this. Not true, not true. Here's what actually happened. The party received a subpoena. Now you know why this program is dedicated to that subject. Received a subpoena to appear and took that subpoena and sent it back with a conditional acceptance. You prove to me A, B, and C, and I'll appear. And then when this was discussed, the party said to me, well, I didn't argue, and I had to explain to that party what I've explained on the air tonight. That, in fact, anything other than acceptance is argument. That's why when one returns process, one has to really understand what one is doing. And that's why I prefer to return process, ideally, using the full-blown global privacy shield, because it includes the commercial settlement along with the return of process and proof of the United States' acceptance of our sovereign status. So that was mistake number one, arguing by way of conditional acceptance. So they brought him in, they brought the party in under arrest. Only then was the commercial process undertaken, and when the commercial process, the promissory note was undertaken, payment was made, there was no BIC process, there was no warning about the consequences of dishonoring the instrument. There were no disclosures on a letter rogatory that the intention was honorable. This is an administrative remedy, the purpose of which is to honorably settle all claims against the defendant by way of the secured party, first-in-line secured party creditor, none of that. There was no warning that this was their opportunity to exhaust their administrative remedy. Are you aware, my friends, that all lawyers fully understand administrative process? They may pretend not to, but they understand when a letter comes in that says this is your opportunity to exhaust your administrative process. No wonder they deemed the promissory note bogus. Now, my memory's failing on me, but it's very possible that the promissory note was filed into the case or may have been filed by the clerk into the case, something which should have been addressed as well. Now, what would their response have been if they had opened a letter rogatory that said, congratulations, you have just been named as confessed successor surety to the defendant debtor in case number such and such. Here is the payment, and here is a 1099 OID reflecting that payment and reporting the taxable liability. Anyway, all they were facing was contempt. The promissory note was sent in naked, and then a document called an administrative demand, which I understand was designed by Howard Griswold, was sent in, and that's what turned this into a nasty situation. That was registered in the land records, and the judge went ballistic and said, by registering in the land records, you've made it impossible for us to pay it. And that's when this case blew up in a number of people's faces. In my mind, that was the third mistake. And the fourth mistake was that a 1099 OID was filed without consent. Now, how do we get consent for 1099 OID? As I mentioned in my email today, there are four levels of safety, and all of those are addressed by different available processes. First of all, we can simply request that they send us the 1099 OID and fill out a W-9 with their social security number so we can fill it out, or the EIN of the court so we can fill it out. We have a process for that. It occurs under notary seal, and then the notary public issues a certificate that they failed to respond, and they were warned that that failure to respond would comprise, they were warned, they received notice that that failure to respond would comprise their consent to the taxpayer filing the 1099 OID. And that would be the safest way to go. And the name of that process is BIC Turbo 9 for the W-9. And that's one of the things that we discuss at the North American event. It's a two-stage process. One for gaining their express consent to the filing of the 1099, and then the payment is made using BIC process in stage two under the notary seal with a letter rogatory, the BIC turbo letter, and the 1099 OID. The second lowest level of safety would be to secure their consent by asking them in open court for the 1099 OID on the claim, and if they don't have it, to then move accordingly and provide the remedy. The most common way that we use 1099 OIDs, the third level of safety, is that we include it without requesting them having issued it. We include it with a promissory note or a payment instrument. I consider that to be a very safe approach, and I honestly do not know of any prosecutions when that method is followed. Why do I consider it safe? Because we are tendering payment. We have a letter indicating payment is being tendered. We have a notary's cover letter indicating payment is being tendered. Here's the instrument. And what do we put on the 1099? 1099 OID using ZYA method, that the straw party is the payer. Was there a payment? Yes. Is the straw party under obligation to report that? Yes. So if someone says the taxpayer has no lawful right to file the 1099, we would look at that party and say, are you advising the taxpayer or ordering the taxpayer to violate the tax laws of the United States? They're dead right at that point. Now, I have seen some negative reactions to 1099 OIDs filed spontaneously like that, naming them as the payer. We're delivering a promissory note to them and then naming them as the payer? That's trouble. but I do consider the ZYA-BIC method, which would be found in BIC Turbo for Cork, BIC Dummies for Cork, and the Global Privacy Shield, or the former BIC Suite. All of those follow that method of safety. Here's an instrument, and here's the 1099 OID report of your tax liability on that instrument as a recipient. And finally, the most unsafe way would be to provide a 1099 OID in a BIC package, naming the party instead of the court or the agency as the liable party. That will get people angry. Now, let me back up. When we present the 1099 OID naming a court or an agency, we warn them, if the account is not properly posted with the payment, that will be deemed and that will comprise a confession of liability or of misappropriation of the funds, and then we will issue a 1099 OID naming you personally. I have never seen one of those challenged. Why? Because they were warned. It was an administrative process. A notary certified they were warned, and a notary certified that they failed to respond. I have your agreement. End of story. Where do you go with that? You gave your agreement, and we warned you that if you didn't post the account, that you would be named personally liable. Well, that's a bogus instrument. Well, we've already discussed this summer how to handle that. So those are some of the points on the use of 1099 OIDs. Let me caution that by saying I am not recommending anyone use a 1099 OID or any other tax report. Don't use it. Don't not use it. That's up to individuals to decide. I am suggesting if one believes they are going to use it, at least use it with an eye towards safety. Now, eventually an arraignment is held in this case and in many others. We only have a couple of minutes. Let me make a few very brief but potent points about the arraignment. An arraignment is not what it appears to be. Someone said to me this week, oh, it's just an arraignment. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, it's just the plea. They're going to take a pleading. Any patriot who believes that needs to go back to the drawing board and start studying. An arraignment is the pivotal event of your life. It is the opportunity the United States offers for you to grab your remedy or for you to confess to being a pagan who is in their system without a prayer of getting out because you're going to trial and you've already been convicted at the arraignment. I'm not saying it's easy, but at that arraignment, one of the first things they're going to ask is, how do you plead? And if someone were to ask me how I plead, my first statement to them would be, the defendant is not prepared to plead. The defendant hasn't seen the charges. What do they often say when someone is brought in on multiple charges and the attorney standing next to him? The attorney might say, this is my client, the defendant, such and such. We waive a formal reading of the charges. Or if you go in without an attorney, the judge will say, have you seen a copy of the charges? Why? They need someone. They must present the charges so that someone can accept the charges. This is an admiralty court. They need an acceptor. They need an owner of the vessel to come in and state a claim. That's what the purpose of the charges are. And so my response very simply would be the defendant is not prepared to plead. Why? Well, I'll enter a pleading for you. The defendant is not prepared to plead because the defendant has not seen a copy of the charges. Do you have a copy of the charges that can be examined? And what are they going to say? No, they might. But let's say they hand you a copy of the charges. If they don't know you're a patriot, they will hand you a copy of the charges. Well, get them a copy. Or I'd like to take a look at that paper you're reading from, if they're reading from a paper instead of a computer screen. I'd look at it and I would say, we have a problem here. That's not my name on the paper. That's not my lawful name. And now let me just refer you to the earlier programs during the summer as to how we would defend that name. Because if it's not your name, there's no proceeding against you. They may come back and say, well, aren't you Mr. Jones? Sir, if you jump ahead and say, sir, are you trying to entice me into slavery? They'll think you're nuts. What one has to do at an arraignment or any hearing when there are armed people around is build the case of lawbreaking against them so all can see, to undermine the confidence of the peace officers. Sir, Are you attempting to get me to confess to being the name on that piece of paper, which I've just stated is not my name? And we can escalate. It doesn't matter what he says. For the second time, are you attempting to get me, are you attempting to entice me into a confession of being a United States person against my will? Now I'm upping the ante. Then I might go to, are you enticing me into slavery by ordering me to confess to being a United States person and a legal fiction resident subject of the United States falsely and against my will, yes or no, for the record? Now I'm prepared to make the argument in open court. Well, sir, that would be kidnapping, wouldn't it? And that's how I would proceed in that direction. And I would point that out to all the peace officers before I go ahead and effect an arrest. Folks, we'll be back to continue this discussion in just a moment. With a few minutes we have left, we might have to defer on our special guest. We'll decide during the commercial break.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back, my friends. Let me apologize for the mad rush. As you can see, this is extensive material, and this is much of what we're going to be covering those last couple of days at the North American event. And let me see if I can at least cover the subject of arraignment fully before the end of the program in 3 minutes. The If they present that piece of paper to me, then I'm going to stand on the fact that that is not my name, and I'm going to ask him point blank, as was asked in a case a few weeks ago, is this court intending to proceed? This court has been alerted to a case of mistaken identity. Are you still intending to prosecute, although you're aware of mistaken identity? The judge said yes. Now, at that point, I would move ahead. When a judge admits that in public and the sheriffs or the marshals can hear, he's dead as far as I'm concerned, commercially. Well, Your Honor, thank you. Let the record show the judge has just confessed to kidnapping and assault on a foreign official. Judge, you leave me no choice, but I'm going to issue a warrant for the arrest of your bond, and we are going to serve that warrant on IRS, the Fed, FDIC, DTC, Dun and Bradstreet, and there are a bunch of other parties we might mention. But basically, he is commercially dead. And I'm ordering the sheriffs who have witnessed this to remove you from the bench and remove you from the building. Now, if the sheriffs were not to comply, I wouldn't do that until I had the sheriffs at a point where they're going to comply, where the judge understands there's a chance they may comply, and he's dead in the water. And at that point, I'm going to put it to the sheriffs. This is an instant affidavit. This is an affidavit of probable cause that has been signed, denoting the crimes of kidnapping and assault. And if I have to go any further, here's another affidavit for suborning of these crimes and for obstruction and conspiracy. And if necessary, then the next words out of my mouth will be, sir, you are under arrest. You know, in life, we face difficult decisions sometimes, and you're facing one of them. Obviously, I don't have time to fully address this issue of arrest, but why don't we do that on the next program? But I would walk into that courtroom with an arrest warrant ready to go for the crimes that I expected to unfold, signed and fully witnessed. I would have blank ones signed and fully witnessed, ready to go to have other parties named to them, arrests of bonds. I would have instant affidavits denoting the crimes already checked off, signed, and witnessed, and I would have others without the crimes checked off and also room to enter additional people's names. I would have all of that prepared, ready to go. Now, if I ask for the charges and he says no, I'm going to ask him, am I to understand that this court is attempting to operate without charges against the defendant? Look, if you don't enter a plea, I'll enter one for you. Does anyone in this room, foreign on the record, does anyone in this room have charges or a claim against me that they can present to me? Let the record show. Your silence is your agreement. No charges exist. I'm a free man. Is that not right, Judge? I'm free to go. I would make it clear that he can't prosecute without charges. And if he persists, I'll say with all due respect, for the record, does this court enforce? And that's what I might bring in. That's when I might bring in the Constitution or Title 18 of the United States Code or Section 337 of the Criminal Code of Canada or any other applicable section. For the record, does this court enforce those? And I would move very quickly to them that, sir, you cannot abduct someone off of the street without charges and prosecute them in these United States. Isn't that true? And wouldn't that be a crime, sir, that would have to be prosecuted? And I'm addressing this to all of the peace officers in this room, because the next words out of my mouth will be, you're under arrest. Well, I wish we had more time, folks. We'll pick this up next week at this point. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope that what we did cover tonight has been entertaining. Good night, and God bless. It's the same.